Okay. This mimer is special because it was delivered by the Rebbe at a time when he was still convalescing following the heart attack in 1977. So this mimer is delivered in January of 1978. And it was delivered from the Rebbe's room. This was a bedside mimer. Fireside mimer chat. It was released in an edited form for Zayin Adar, which is the birth date of Moshe Rabbeinu and the day of passing of Moshe in that year of 1978. Okay, there's much more to say about that, but we don't have that much time. We should go on to learn the Maimer. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. The parsha opens with the words, and these are the ordinances that you shall place before them. U'medayik bazeh kveit kedushas admor hazokin. The Alter Rebbe, in this compilation of Maimarim known as Torah Oir, which is the foundational Maimarim of the Alter Rebbe, which is in Reish Parsha Seinu, in the beginning of the Maimarim of this week's Parsha, the Tzorech Lahavin, that this verse presents us with a challenge, a need for elucidation. Lifnehem, these are the ordinances that you should place, Elah Mashpatim Ashatasim, Lifnehem is before them. Mashma, what's intimated here is Lashon Rabbim, is a plural, a general expression, including many. And then a moment later, the next verse says, V'chi Sikneh, that's Lashon Yachid. Here Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to an individual, if you will buy. So the first is the royal you, or many, and the second is in direct singular tense. Since he's speaking, God says to Moshe, these are the ordinances you should place before them, the next verse should have opened, ki siknu, when you, meaning plural, you will buy, not when you as an individual. Gam yidua hadiok, there's also this famous question, like a precise analysis, not so much of the verbiage, but rather of content. Why is it that all of the ordinances begin b'din evid ivri, with the laws and rules of the indentured laborer, the person who has no ability to quit, move on in life? We call that, roughly translated, a slave. A slave just means that he is in servitude. He has to work, so to speak, in perpetuity. This is also what the Medrash is alluding to. This is what the Medrash touches upon. When it says, "Be'omre ani kenisi eschem b'mitzrayim," the Medrash in Parshas Mishpatim opens up with the idea where God says, "I acquired you in the land of Egypt." So this is all the vayir hatam. This is all to explain the reason that we begin Parshas Mishpatim with the din of Eved Ivri. It's as if we are God's slaves. So Eved Ivri is, by extension, as the Medrash would have it, kind of slave of God, in servitude to God. Really, that's really what it is. And then there's another, many other diukim which Rebbe is going to address. This is a rather long mimer. We're just going to learn the beginning of it. But I think we'll be able to walk away with something real. So I call this mimer, euphemistically speaking, Mr. Transmission. And that's just a gimmick. But this really is about the transmission of Torah and how we can effectively, how we should effectively transmit the values and virtues, the ideas and ideals of Torah, and now how that can help us, quote, go into overdrive, which means how we can go to the next level, how we can continue to grow, because Yiddishkeit is about continued growth, sustained growth, rather than an occasional spurt or some kind of change once in a while. Okay, so before we go to the actual transmission issue, which is how we pass Torah on, the Maimer notes that the words Ve'ela HaMishpatim clearly represent something broader. It's not a specific ordinance. It's not a specific rule. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim. Mishpatim are plural. These are the ordinances. So this is an inyan klali. This is not addressing a specific issue. This here addresses a broader issue, which we see this also mipirish dazal, from the words of our rabbis who tell us shekoi, that these words or opening sentence of the parsha refers to klalas inyan limud ha-Torah. It refers to the general notion of Torah study. Zehu gamkein mashakos of tosim. That's why the verse which speaks about these ordinances, plural, And it says lifnehem, which is plural, is interjected with a singular verse, asher tosim. This is the verse that you should place, not tosimu, not plural. Why? Who is it referring to? Who is it referring to? Vizeh ha-mishpatim. These are the mishpatim asher tosim that you should place. Who should place? Moshe Rabbeinu. It's God speaking to Moshe. And God says to Moshe, you should place. Ki inyanehu shal Moshe, the whole idea of Moshe, Moshe's essence is limud ha-Torah. That's why Moshe has many, many qualities. But he's not known as Moshe Nevi'enu or Moshe Hanavi, Moshe the great prophet. He's not known as Moshe Goyalenu, Moshe the Redeemer. He was that. He was the first great Redeemer. In some ways the greatest Redeemer until coming of Mashiach. He was a Melech. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu Melech Haya. We don't say Moshe HaMelech. What do we say? Rabbeinu. What does Rabbeinu mean? Our teacher. Moshe is our eternal teacher. So the greatest Jewish leader of all time is a teacher of Torah. And in fact, the term rabbi does not mean holy man. It does not mean miracle worker. It does not mean sapient individual. There are words for all those things. It doesn't mean prophet. What does it mean? It means teacher. It's teacher. Moshe Rabbeinu is the first rabbi. His job was to be a teacher. And all rabbis subsequent, their job is primarily, first and foremost, to be a teacher. But we're going to see that this is not limited to a leadership position, but ultimately each and every one of us is responsible for serving as a teacher. Really, it's a personal obligation for us all. There's a little Moses in you. So this is the Lashon Yochid. V'achar kach oymer lifneihem, then it's plural. Why? Shal yedei, al yodai, was by virtue of his hand, euphemistically speaking, that hoysa hamshachas ha-teira l'kol echad v'echad mi-Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu's job was not to teach the smart people, was not to teach the experienced individuals. Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to teach Torah to every single Jew. For, in truth, every single Jew is connected to the Torah. And we refer not only to the generation of Moshe, rather, every generation until the end of time. Ad sof kol hadeiros. U'kemesh kasuv, as the last of the formal prophets stated near the very end of his prophetic compilation, which is Malachi, near the end of his book, it says, Zichru Toiras Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of my servant Moshe. So remember the Torah of my servant Moshe means that all of the Torah, who is Malachi talking to? I mean, he's living some probably 13 centuries after Moshe, 12 centuries after Moshe, maybe more, 15 centuries. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Jewish people at the time. And he says, remember the Torah of Moshe. And this is not only a person who's educated. This is not only somebody who has gone to school or comes to adult education programs and has learned Torah. But actually, who else this referred to? This refers ad latinik. This refers even to a child. Shemaschil ledaber. The child who just begins to speak. Oviv malam de Torah. What should he be taught? The Gemara in Sukkah says that his father has a sacred obligation. What's the sacred obligation? Teach him Torah. And which pasuk? Hainu ha-pasuk, the Gemara in Sukkah says, Teire tzivolonu Moshe. What are you talking about Moshe? What are you talking about God? Say, Anechi Hashem Elokecha. No, because the Torah of God comes to us through Moshe, and therefore it's Torah's Moshe. U'kemoiken yeshna hira klali su-pasuk zeh. There's also, therefore, a broader instruction. There's a bigger message in this verse. Ba'ayfen limud ha-Teire. This verse is actually telling us how we should learn the Torah. Shetzarech liyeis be'oifin mesuyim dafke. That the Torah is supposed to be learned in a specific way. The Torah is giving us the methodology of transmission. How is Torah transmitted from generation to generation? How is it transmitted from teacher to student, from master to pupil? Well, this is kedivrei Hazal, like the words of our sages, which is found in Maseches Erevin, and actually quoted by the Rambam, and later by the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, that it says, Asher Tosim Lufneim. So Parshas Mishpatim may speak about ordinances, but Parshas Mishpatim is really about Torah, and about Torah teaching, and Torah study. And it says that when Torah is transmitted, it should be placed before them. Sheharav Shalomad, that the teacher who teaches, Chayzer V'Shoyne, he has to then repeat the teaching. Oh, how many times do I have to repeat the same thing? It's frustrating. Well, if the students aren't listening, that's another story. But assuming that the students actually are listening, and they're really trying to understand this, but it's above their immediate pay grade. They can get there, but it's not easy now. So the teacher's got to repeat it. And maybe the repetition isn't always identical. Maybe the repetition has to change form. Maybe the teacher has to kind of take this idea and bring it to a lower iteration, to bring it more into the world of where the pupil is. Afilu kama pamim ad sheyavinu, until they understand. Not just the superficial reality, the profundity, the depth of this rule, of this law, b'taima, not just what the rule is, but why this rule exists. And it should be done heitiv, well. That's what we're being told here. So Parshas Mishpatim, before you go on to all the ordinances, really opens with the Torah's message to us about how Torah should be taught. And obviously, when the Torah speaks to about how Torah should be taught, who's the first individual that's going to be fingered here? Who's going to be talked to first about how Torah should be transmitted? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Tzir Neman, as Rabbeinu Bechaya says. He is that loyal, that trusted nexus through us in Mount Sinai. Umoysif oid admor hazakin bazeh. The Alter Rebbe adds, b'siyam milchus Talmud Torah. He adds something that the Rambam doesn't say. And he says that tzarech atel losim lefnehem, they have to place it before the means. Tam hamiyashiv talmudim, you have to give them rhyme and reason. You have to give them syntax and metaphor so that it is something that settles into them. It becomes not something that they're grasping at, but something that becomes settled. It's part of who they are. They can relate to this. Masime belibom, place it in the heart. I think the Alter Rebbe is talking about EQ several hundred years before the term was developed. He's talking not about intellectual quotients, but emotional quotients. He's talking about relating to the idea. He's talking about that this idea becomes part of me. It becomes an extension of my own life, of my own imagination, of my own reality. The Rambam doesn't say this. That's Ashutosim Lefnehem. Lefnehem means Belibam. B'yashleimer, the Rebbe adds a fascinating nuance. The Masha Kosav Admor HaZaken Shemasimu Belibam. When the Alter Rebbe adds the word Belibam, the Chumash doesn't say Belibam, doesn't mention heart here. I mean, elsewhere there's an understanding heart, a Lev Maven, but doesn't say heart here. Mefarash, what the Alter Rebbe is interpreting and clarifying for us is that when it says Tosim Lefnehem, Hainu Lepnimi Yusum. Where do you see it in the verse? Because the verse says Lefnehem before them. Mm-hmm. And the word Lefnehem, as the Alter Rebbe interprets numerous times in Torah Ur, can also be understood as a permutation of Lepnimiusum. Pnim is inside. Pnimius, inward. In other words, you got to place it in them. And in order for it to be in my heart, Hainu Kishumasim Bahalev, that's got to be in the heart. Because my mind understands things that are outside of my reality. But if my heart understands it, it's who I am. That's how I feel. That's how I relate. Emotions are a much more profound expression of self. Intellect is higher. Emotions are much more personal. And therefore, so the Alter Rebbe adds the words Belibam, and the Rebbe is telling us that in likelihood, the Alter Rebbe gets this idea from the fact that it says Lefnehem. Lefnehem means Lepnimiusim. And this then is the point. This is a general idea in Inyan Klali and Limud HaTorah. This is about learning Torah, the kol echad vi echad mi Yisrael, for each and every member of Israel. Sha'arei limud ha-Torah hi mitzvah shebegufei. The study of Torah is not one of those mitzvahs that you can pay somebody to do for you. There are mitzvahs like that. There are mitzvahs you can appoint somebody to perform on your behalf. Not too many, don't get excited, but there are some mitzvahs that you can appoint a shliach for. It's not always what's called a mitzvah shebegufei. So for example, when it comes to teaching your own child, it is possible to engage somebody else to teach your child. Not only it's possible, that's what's customary. Even the great Alter Rebbe didn't teach his own child. He hired a young man to teach his child, so because he was a person who was needed and called upon by thousands. So it was either focus on your own child or have Mesiras Nefesh, sacrifice what you like, deal with thousands, but make sure that the child's taken care of. What did he do? He called the young man and he says, younger man, he says, Ichoba mitzvah, I have a mitzvah of teaching my child. You have a mitzvah of providing for your family. Okay, let's exchange. I'll give you what you need to provide for your family, and you'll teach my son. And that's how the story goes. So that's not a mitzvah shebugufah. Alter Rebbe actually hired somebody. Of course, the Alter Rebbe raised his own son, and he went on to become the second Rebbe and one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time. But there is this idea that he could hire somebody else, and we do that. That's what schools are about. Most of us can't afford to hire individual tutors, and therefore we send our children to a school where there are many, many parents who are paying a teacher who's going to teach the child Torah. However, there's one mitzvah you can pay somebody to do for you. Guess which mitzvah that is? Learning Torah yourself. Presidents say, I don't learn Torah. I got somebody else learning Torah for me. You know, there's that famous Mishnah of Rabbi Yisrael ben Kisma. It's not the Maimon, but just like where this guy comes over to him and says, I want you to learn Torah. Come to my place, learn Torah in our place. And Rabbi Yisrael rejects him, rebuffs him entirely. It sounds funny. Like, isn't the whole idea of shlichus to go out? So one of the ways the Rebbe explains it is the person was very explicit. He says, you adjust to us, not we adjust to you. You learn Torah for us, okay? You're going to be our proverbial rabbi. You'll learn Torah here, and you'll be the one learning Torah, and we'll do our thing.
How does that work with that Zebulun Issachar?
Well, Zebulun and Issachar doesn't mean that Zebulun doesn't learn Torah. And it doesn't mean that Issachar doesn't give tzedakah. It means that Zebulun's primary occupation is commerce, and that Yisachar's primary occupation is the study of Torah. But ultimately, every single member of Am Yisrael has an individual obligation to study Torah. So if we're talking about the study of Torah and transmission of Torah, then ultimately, who are we talking to here? Everybody. We have to be talking to everybody. Kol echad mechuyev b'zeh. Like it says, v'shinantam levanecha. So what does v'shinantam levanecha mean? V'divri razal, our sages say, so it means sheyiyu divrei Torah shinunim u'mechudadim b'ficha. It means that the words of Torah should be sharp, because the word v'shinantam for teaching is an odd word to use. It should say v'limadtem, or something like that, a word which is related to study. Instead, it used the word shinun. Shinun comes from repetition, but not just ordinary repetition. When you repeat something and you do it, you practice and practice and practice until it becomes second nature. So, for example, when the police train for self-defense, I know this because I was at these seminars when they're training them. So the instructor, I've heard this from other ones, he'll say, I'm going to show you 10 moves of what happens when you get jumped. So, you know, police officer comes and he gets jumped. What should you do? So I'm going to show you a bunch of different moves. He says, just take one or maximum two and practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it. So when you get jumped, if you get jumped, this will become your knee-jerk reaction. This will become almost like a reflex. He says, because remember that when you get shocked or ambushed and surprised, you're just going to go back to what's most natural to you. And therefore, he says, you're not going to have 10 moves. You're going to become a judo master. There's people, that's what they do a whole day. They sit and practice their karate or judo, so they have all these moves. But regular people don't sit and practice this all day or don't have 3 hours a week or 10 hours a week to do this. So he says, just make some knee-jerk things. So when you get jumped, when you're not thinking, the part of your brain that doesn't have to actively think automatically tells you what to do. Do you know that we're supposed to study Torah to the point that these things are so familiar to us that, like, they wake you up in the middle of the night and you can start talking? That's really what we speak of. It's like a professional who goes around delivering lectures or speeches on something. At some point, he can do it with his eyes closed. Why? Because it's become part of him. That's how you study Torah. Can you imagine? That's what's expected of us. That it should be mechudadim b'ficha, just rolls right off your tongue, because it's second nature. Shezehu ke'inyan hanal shahalacha tzarech li'a brura misoderes, that halacha is so clear to you that you've reviewed this and taught this and thought about this and ruminated on it and understood it so well that it's natural for you to articulate it and share it. Guess what? This is not a chiyuv for people sitting in a kollel. This is not a responsibility of rabbis or talmidei chachamim. This is chiyuv al kol echod vi echod mi Yisrael. This is a chiyuv on every single member of Am Yisrael. I once heard a story when I was a boy of a man who wasn't so learned that didn't have so much time in his hands, and he took one tractate of Talmud and he studied it and studied it and studied it. And everybody was, you know, having this broad study and studying. He just kept studying that same tractate whole life long. He lived a long life, and the story goes when he came to heaven, the tractate came to defend him. That became his tractate. It was his baby, like, you know, because he spent his whole life learning it again and again and again. And so one of my teachers was saying to me, like, take an idea in Torah and make it yours. Make it yours. Like, you need to have it mechudadim b'ficha. That's the message here. And really, The Rebbe says something amazing now. It says, Vishinantim Levanecha. You should teach it that way to your children. The Rebbe says, yes, of course, Levanecha. That this methodology has to be used, that this method is about transmission to Limud Ha'av Veharav, to the parent, to the father, which is really a euphemism for the teacher, as Rashi says. Atzmei. Va'ad Rabbe. Dafka ayedei she tchila yeshana etzloi hashinu medivrei Torah. The only way you can teach it to somebody else that it becomes so clear to him is if first it becomes so clear to you. It's impossible otherwise. So only when it's clear to you, ef sheli esachakach v'shinantam, then you can have the idea of teaching to others. Val pizeh muvan, now we understand, mashakosa ve'ela ha-mishpatim, that when the scripture uses these words, and these are the ordinances, that you should ashatosim lefneim, that you should place, and this is the first thing we read after Parshas Yisrei. We just finished talking about Matan Torah, we just finished talking about the giving of the Torah, mass revelation at Sinai. The very next thing we hear about is how to study Torah. Because we're told how to teach Torah from the greatest teacher of all time, Moshe Rabbeinu, who every one of us has to emulate in some small way. And when you're talking about teaching, ultimately you're talking about gaining knowledge yourself. Because pasuk ze yesh nahira klalis, this verse serves as a general directive for all of us about limud ha-Torah dekol echad v'echad, about the study of Torah for each and every single one. Heim b'halimud ha-matzmei, both for how we learn ourselves, v'heim b'shinantam levanecha, in the transmission of Torah. But if you want to be Mr. Transmission, if you want to be able to pass this on, you need to have clarity yourself first. Ulevanecha ela talmidim, your children, who are really your disciples, your pupils, which ultimately is every one of us. Kedivirchazal l'pasuk, like our sages say, ubi'ikar ba'efen avedas adam l'kayni. This is about how we serve Hashem. How do we serve Hashem? By always conveying messages, Torah messages. So you know, one of the 12 psukim is Vishinanta, Vishinanta Levanecha. It's one of the 12 psukim. It's one of the 12 foundational verses which the Rebbe selected that all children should study by heart. And some people make the mistake of thinking that the pasuk of Vishinantam is about Torah study. Vishinantam, you should teach. Vishinantam Levanecha, teach your children. But if it's about Torah study, there are other verses that speak about Torah study. This is not the verse. This verse about Torah study actually is talking to us about teaching Torah. And really and truly what it means is that we should be a source of influence. We should always be imparting Torah ideas. But if one does not have Torah themselves, how in heaven will you be a Torah teacher? What does it mean to be a light unto the nation? To put candles on your head? To wear a flashlight? What does it mean? It means that we study Torah. We study Torah so much that it's clear to us, and then because we study Torah so it's so clear to us, we're able to share Torah with others. So every moment becomes a teaching moment. Every encounter becomes instructive. That's Vishinantam. But the only way that can happen, you should be able to convey Torah teachings clearly and lucidly in a manner that it becomes something that somebody absorbs. Lefnehem, remember this, the business of in you, that it attaches itself to the very psyche, that it becomes part of their EQ, their heart, if that's how you study the Torah. And that's the first message we get. Now, how do we go into overdrive? We're really out of time here, but here's the point. In Avadim, in the next chapter of this Maimon, the Rebbe says, there's Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani, and Amo Ivriya. There's literally the non-Jewish servant, the Jewish servant, and then there's the female servant. The first two are male. And the Rebbe goes on to say that these three levels represent three different levels in one's Avodas Hashem. That the Eved Kanani represents a Rasha, a person who's doing things wrong. The Eved Ivri represents the Jew who's like a Beinoni. I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. He still has all the lusts and desires and cravings, but he's not doing anything wrong. And then from there you go to Alma Ivriya. Look at that, the chauvinistic Torah that tells, who is the tzaddik? The female servant. That's the tzaddik. That's how it goes. So it goes from Kanani to Eved Ivri to Alma Ivriya. And that's the point. The reason that we start talking with these laws is to indicate to us that in our service to Hashem, as we're teaching others and inspiring others, we have to know that we must move from Rasha to Beinoni to Tzaddik. That you got to keep going to the next level. You keep exhausting possibilities, smashing the glass ceiling, and moving on to the next level. And that every one of us has a sacred duty and responsibility of continuing to grow in his or her Yiddishkeit. And as they say, the possibilities are endless. An endless myriads of levels of how we grow, like the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that there's a level of tzaddik every one of us could relate to, in some microcosmic way, and the message of Torah. So the first message of Eilah HaMishpatim is the idea of how we should teach, which ultimately means how we should study Torah. And the next message is that we should become an Eved Hashem. We should become a servant of Hashem, but and continue to wax and grow from Eved Kanani to Eved Ivri to Am Ivriya, from level to level, because this, my friends, is what life is really all about. And that's just the beginning.